What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Box Out Boys. I'm your stand-in host, Joey the Lawn Boss Krowski. And joining us, as always, Chris the Stats Man Gorman. Hit him with stats, Chris.
Hey. I got a stat. Mike Brown is now the number two all-time winningest playoff coach for the Sacramento Kings. And he's the only coach with a positive winning percentage. Rick Adelman had a 34-35 win percent playoff record for the Kings. So congrats to Mike Brown.
Two games, but I think he'll take it based on where they've been in their franchise history. Build the statue. Yep. And light the beam. And also joining us most times, it's Adam, the Bruns. It's Adam, the professional Bruns. Adam, how are the levels tonight?
They are fantastic.
All right. Well, as you've noticed, our fearless leader is not with us tonight. He's got some family obligations, probably cooking up some super high thoughts for next week.
The one guy with no kids.
Yeah, with his...
With family obligations. It's cool.
No kids, for sure. Unintended. But hopefully he's cooking up some high thoughts with his favorite holiday being tomorrow. Hopefully for next week, we'll have something real good for you coming out of round one of the playoffs. But that's all right. Chris and I are going to hold down the fort. We've got an all-timer set up. At least we think we do, but we'll see how we do. All right, Chris, you ready? We're going to do this?
Yeah. What do we got? First question.
All right.
What do we
got? First question. So far in round one of the NBA playoffs, excluding the play-in, who is your MVP?
Oh, yeah. I thought this was kind of obvious and if for me because I thought of it, and it's my answer. De'Aaron Fox has been nuts. The one stat I want to point out with him right now, he's got 7 steals through 2 games.
Wild.
And the Kings are also getting blocks, which is not a thing the Kings normally do. I'm pretty sure they were last in the league in blocks this year. But with a team like a short team like, yeah, they're 29th. But against a team like the Warriors, who have a lot of guys around the same height, they get some blocks. Kevin Herter, absolute maniac. Anyways, De'Aaron Fox has been my MVP so far. He has been the best player to watch. Him and Malik Monk are taking it back to the March Madness days. Been a joy.
Yeah, I also put down De'Aaron Fox for literally all the reasons you said. My backup thought to that was Kawhi Leonard. I think if they had won last night, Kawhi would have had a very good case to also join the MVP conversation for the playoffs here. 34.5 points per game, 38 and 31 respectively, 6 assists, 6.5 rebounds per game. So he is doing everything for them, especially without Paul George. But, being tied 1-1 in a series is not as good as being up 2-0 against the defending champion. So I think De'Aaron Fox is definitely the MVP. Question for you on De'Aaron Fox. So last trade deadline, well now 2 trade deadlines ago, we talked a lot about the Kings and what were they doing when they made the trade. They sent Halliburton away, brought in Sabonis. We absolutely roasted them, right? I think nobody understood this. Everybody thought it was a really bad trade. Like, how could you let Halliburton go? Fox should have been the one that should have been sent down the road. Chris, I mean, I think on paper, right, and so far in practice, they have been successful in this trade. Do you think that they've absolutely hit this out of the park, or do you still think that there's a little bit of room here?
We should do a re-listenable of that pod. Wow. I don't know if was a
re-listenable.
Do you remember if we were that again? Like, it was pretty dumb because Tyrese Haliburton was kind of the best player on the Kings, we thought at that time.
Yes, and I think we all thought Sabonis was very overrated and just was on a really bad team in Indiana.
Okay, dang. Yeah, we probably did think this. The thing is, the Kings, you know what's great about what the Kings did is they literally went all in. It was the one thing that the Bulls did not do. The Bulls instead kept their draft pick and drafted Dalen Terry in the last draft, right? The Kings traded that pick and got Kevin Herter to really solidify that offense and make it a full team dynamic. And then they drafted really well with Keegan Murray. So they had a few other things go right. The Domantas Sabonis trade, yes, it's better than what most people thought it was at the beginning. But I think making those other two moves as well is really what made this team what it is right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, De'Aaron Fox has absolutely lived up to I guess not even lived up, but overachieved versus what everybody thought he was going to be. Took home an award this season too, right? The first ever Clutch Player of the Year award.
Yeah.
So we'll have to add that to the roundtable discussion for next year. We'll have to come up with who we think is the most clutch player. Well, we need it. We need more categories. The more categories, the better. So
we should do a most overrated category that's voted by the players.
I like that.
This year, I don't know if you saw who won it this year. It was Trae Young. Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely loved it. Sorry, Titus, your favorite player is overrated. Well, all right. I think, you know, we were talking about this before we started, but, you know, we have jumped on the Kings bandwagon. I don't have a dog in the race right now. Chris, you still have Minnesota alive. I mean, technically they're alive. I don't know if they have much of a pulse, but they're alive. So you've got some.
We dealt with a bad back, a punch to the chest. We've had a lot of issues. The first game was kind of a schedule loss, I would say. Tonight, the game that starts in 20 minutes time here. When this comes out, I believe that the Timberwolves will, I hope they at least put up an effort that makes it me excited for game three. Right.
It's not game talk. It's pregame talk. So it's fine.
But it's more like, I just hope the Timberwolves put up a fight that like makes me want to stay up the whole time and not want to go to bed.
There you go. That would be good. But outside of that, I think me and you have agreed Sacramento might be the team that we are cheering for here.
I think so. I kind of wanted to see the Warriors bounce back just because I like Klay Thompson so much. And I mean, but what Draymond did with the stomp, people were defending Draymond pretty hard on the stomp. Do we want to talk about the stomp real quick?
We can talk about the stomp. Yeah.
Yes. Sabonis maybe grabbed Draymond's foot for a second, but also why was Draymond's foot like right there? Like the way they got up was kind of weird. And he probably did a thing beforehand.
Yep.
And then Sabonis grabbed a little bit, but the way that Draymond stomped on him, like, yeah, do a step, but you don't have to like put the aggression on it was pretty, I think warranted the suspension, and because he's a repeat offender and his history of it, I think I understand why he got suspended for a game, but what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of torn. Like, I do think it was intentional. I think him saying he was just trying to get his balance, or he's not very flexible. Like, I also believe all of those statements, right? I also believe he's probably not that flexible. He doesn't look that athletic. Like, I could see him having to push, but like the fact that his leg was already in the air and then he like put it down with force, like there's a way to get out of that. You could still stand on his chest, right? There's a way to get out of that without stomping on him, right? You could easily like push yourself off. Or when they blew the whistle, you could have turned around and like put your hand down and been like, hey, my bad. Sorry, we got tangled up. Like, I know that's not Draymond's thing. That's not what he does. But like, you know that like your reputation is going to get you suspended for something like that. So wouldn't you in that moment do everything in your power to make sure that like it looked like it wasn't intentional?
You would think, right?
Like, you would think you'd just be like, all right, yeah, I'm going to make sure that nobody thinks this is that serious. But yeah, he had it coming. I mean, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right? Like, that's Draymond. He does what he does and gets away with a lot of stuff. But yeah, I thought the ejection and, you know, him being gone for, and them losing that game was kind of punishment enough. I think maybe if they won the game, the suspension maybe would have been warranted, but they lost. He was ejected. I don't know if you need to handicap them anymore for.
Who do you think suffers more from that injection? Because Sabonis might be out for game three with his ribs. So who would be hurt more from being out, Draymond for the Warriors or Sabonis for the Kings?
I think it would be Sabonis for the Kings. I think the Warriors are going to have the at-home boost. Like, I don't see them going down 3-0 in this series. They're back home. Like, Steph's been kind of quiet. Jordan Poole's been relatively useless, barely played at the end of game one. So, yeah, I don't think it affects. I mean, the Warriors are used to playing without Draymond in playoff series, right? Like, this is a thing that happens often. he usually finds a way to get suspended at least one game during the playoffs. So I don't think they're sweating it too much. If Sabonis is out or is only, you know, 75% of himself, I think that impacts them because they don't. I don't know. They don't have the experience playing without it. They don't have the experience in general. The Warriors don't really sweat anything that kind of comes their way.
That's the thing. The offense is so centered around what he does playmaking-wise for that team. It would be interesting to see what Trey Lyles, maybe Rashawn Holmes gets a look here, and Alex Len.
We're just naming guys now.
More minutes. Those are the backup guys. Those are the backup bigs, and it's a thin pool here. So
thin Jordan pool.
Jordan Poole's another thin, tough guy not doing much right now. Anyways, should we get into the? We got a question here.
We do. We have a comment. Let's see what we got here. I like this. Baskets Be Awesome. Our favorite Baskets Be Awesome. If you could pick new team colors for one team in the NBA, what team would it be? And what colors would you change them to? They gave us their own answer. They said they would change the Chicago Bulls to the Chicago Blue and Red. Love it. That's my favorite city jersey the Bulls have done.
That's a good answer.
If I could find a jersey like that, now that I have plenty of jerseys, I've looked high and low for the baby blue with the flag across the chest.
Good question, though. Stars across?
Yeah. Four stars. Great question. Chris, any thoughts?
I saw this question. I'm still trying to think of it. I have a good answer here.
It's a good one. All the ones that I'm thinking of, the teams already kind of have those colors in their scheme.
Well, it's like, who do you wish had a different color scheme than what I think about the Timberwolves city jerseys. I'm just like, I wish it was anything but those colors.
The neon.
Those neon.
What about this? What about this? I don't know if this works, but if Portland changed from being boring black and took a page out of like Oregon University, the Ducks, and went like full on like stormtrooper bright colors and just really like flipped everything and just kind of leaned into that.
Is that what a trailblazer is?
I don't know. No, a trailblazer is like an explorer, like Oregon Trail, right?
So why would what are you getting at here with these colors?
I'm just getting at like Oregon has awesome colors, and they're not just duck colors. Like they're neon, they're green, they're white. Like
I'm all for it. Yeah,
I'm just thinking. Hey, Oregon, you know, Oregon College has Oregon University, University of Oregon.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say Oregon. Everybody knows what we're talking about. Oregon has awesome colors and uniforms. Portland Trailblazers should do the same thing.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know why they're that conservative, but it's good looking, the black and red. But I kind of agree with that answer. That's a great answer.
Kind of boring, right? One of the ones I was thinking of were like the bright teams, like Oklahoma City has the
blue. I was gonna say Oklahoma City Thunder. Who signed off on this orange and sky blue? I don't get it. I don't like it. I never liked it. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't feel like Oklahoma City. It doesn't feel like a Thunder. It doesn't make any sense. The color scheme has nothing to do with the city or their nickname any sense.
But do you want them to just be like gray because they're thunder and that's been like a storm cloud?
I want them to be like a smoke gray and like a blood orange. You know, kind of like feed into like the stormy.
That's like a fire. Like they need to be like the Oklahoma City like wildfire.
Well, you know, like how sometimes the clouds can look like in the sky when there's a storm coming. It could have like an orangey or. The color look. So that's kind of what I'm feeling more towards. I hate what the Thunder, the color scheme is. I kind of like some of the uniforms have been all right, but the Thunder primary colors are need of some work.
All right. So we're doing like a blood red, like sunset kind of storm coming in cloud for the Thunder, and the Trailblazers need to be any neon color that University of Oregon chooses.
Yeah, and Baskets, if you want to mock this up for us with your Adobe Photoshop skills, if you have those, I don't know, but that'd be really, we'd really appreciate that. We would showcase that on the pod. So,
yeah, we can make it our next thumbnail. We could do an off-season pod and just redo everybody's jerseys with the Adobe Photoshop skills. Love it.
Baskets, no skills, just questions.
Fantastic.
Keep being awesome, Baskets.
Our chief question master. All right, let's move on to the next question. Next question we have. Baskets, you have any more questions? Keep them coming. We'll answer them all night. Chris, who is your way too early championship favorite based on max of two games for every team right now?
Yeah, so I like this question because I have been leaning towards them probably didn't want to say them now, but I'm going to say it. Boston Celtics look like the favorites to win the NBA championship. They've been down to the Hawks in the first quarter, I think by 15 points in both games, and they win both games by like 15 or 20. They just look so dominant. They look bored right now, and they have all the pieces. People are already talking about they would rather have Derek White than Trae Young, which when you say that in a vacuum sounds nuts, but when you really think about it, I'd rather have Derek White too. So the Boston Celtics are my championship favorites after these first 1.5 to 2 games.
That's a good one. I had them on my list, but I'm going to pose a question back to you off of this. I'm going to give you 4 teams and I'm going to have you rank them, okay? Mm. My championship favorites. So obviously Boston is your favorite. So Boston, Philadelphia, Denver, and Sacramento.
So Boston, Denver, Sacramento, Philadelphia.
Oh, baby. I love it. I love it. I kind of agree with that. Yeah. Boston was my pick for their early championship favorite. I agree 100%. They do look bored. They look like they're just coming out like, yeah, let's see what you kind of have to give us tonight. And then we'll just kind of react to it. Tatum looks just so in control. Like, His stats aren't like eye popping, right? They're not jumping off the page at you, but it just looks looks calm and it looks organized and it looks like they learned a lot from last year that, you know, it can just all kind of work when they need it to work. Denver, I don't know. I haven't really watched much of one game that they played.
We'll see tonight. It wasn't
really good. And
again, pregame talk.
It was very late. We will see tonight. We'll see if there's some fight in the Timberwolves. Yeah, Philly, I think maybe over Sacramento. I know why Chris chose Sacramento first, but I don't know. Philly also looks like maybe they might be a little bit bored playing against Brooklyn, but they do look very dominant. Embiid just looks like he's doing his normal Embiid-type things. But it's a small sample size against a relatively bad team that we talked about last week wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the run that they had with all players that are no longer on that team. But I'm guessing they have what is going to be the MVP, so they have to have some sort of stake in them doing well going forward. Then, yeah, we've already talked about Sacramento at length, but we love the Kings.
And I think what's fun with the next round with the Sixers-Celtics, because I'm assuming that's going to happen.
Yep.
Is the Sixers, Tyrese Maxey, who we haven't really talked about him all season. He shot 43% from 3 all season. The guy went 6 of 13 the last game. This guy is a certified star, right? And if the Sixers are going to be the Celtics, he's going to have a coming out party in that sense. So, I'm just excited for that round. That's all I want to say with that.
Yeah, that round should be a bloodbath. I mean, that might be the best series we get in the Eastern Conference. We're getting a great series in the Western Conference, which we probably won't talk about much here. But
yeah,
Philly Boston is going to be easy. All right, well, let's move on from exciting favorites to a down and out. Who makes the first exit from the playoffs? There are 2 teams that are currently down 0-2, or 3 teams actually down 0-2. We'll see how tonight shakes out, but the 0-2 teams, Atlanta, Brooklyn, and surprisingly Golden State. Are any of those on your list, Chris, or somebody else getting knocked out and these guys making a comeback?
So yeah, I'm boring here. That's it. Those are my 3. And so I wrote down Hawks, Nets, and Warriors, because Draymond's out. Like, if they go down 3-0, I still don't think the series is over. I still would not, bet against Steph Curry not being able to make a 4-0 comeback. But is it?
Well, you got to pick one. You can't just say.
Oh, you want me to pick one? Oh, the Hawks.
I need you to lock
the Hawks.
You.
The Hawks. Screw, okay. Screw the Hawks. Even though Trae Young did say in a press conference, like, he's not worried. He's going to come back. Blah, 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 blah. I want to see it, Trey. You look like shit right now. you know, that team, the Celtics have every answer they want against you. That team is so deep with whatever they make, you know, it's just stupid what the Celtics are able to do with their team. GM Brad Stevens is a smart man. So,
yeah, I would say in theory, it seems like Atlanta should be able to get a game more than Brooklyn. But I feel like Boston is not going to let Atlanta, like Atlanta is a better team than Brooklyn, I think, right? Would you agree?
Absolutely.
On paper, right? And in practice as well. Like that's a better team. They should be able to get one game out of a series, but Boston seems like they're maybe slightly hell-bent on not letting that happen. I can see Philadelphia, you know, laying at least one egg in the series where they just take the night off and it's an absolute blowout and they go back and win two in a row and it's all over. But
Cam Johnson looks really good in that last game. They
yeah, did. So, it's just, knows? I mean, it's they're not all good at the same time, right? They have a bunch of individual guys that can be good on any night, but they need every single one of those guys to be fantastic every single night. And Philly's just good. But I agree. I think Atlanta is going to get bounced first. They're going to get swept, and it's going to be really entertaining and happy. Because their offseason is going to be an absolute mess. Yeah. Like Trae Young is going to be an absolute headache. Like, he's going to be...
What's his trade value?
I know, but he doesn't believe that he doesn't have trade value, right? So he is going to be... He's going to be the Lamar Jackson of the NBA this summer.
There was an article I saw that I did not click on because the title of it was 3 blockbuster trades that the Bulls can make to... get Trae Young.
I saw that same article and I did not click on it because I thought this is going to be really stupid.
Yeah. So, yeah, no. Trae Young is going to be a tough sell if Atlanta actually wants to get him off.
Yeah, I can only imagine what those trade scenarios were. Zach LaVine for Trae Young.
Yeah, no.
Patrick Williams, DeMar DeRozan for Trae Young.
Right.
No.
Wow. All right, there we go. Now we found a bar here.
No. Just no.
Yeah, keep that length. Prototypical NBA player.
Oh, the Bulls need a point guard. Trae Young is not a point guard. He's weird.
If you play a basketball GM, there's this new app I downloaded called Basketball GM. It could be the GM of any team with real time. If you play that, they say that Ayo Dosunmu's potential is really high. And if you play out a season or two, Ayo becomes a star. So according to that, I would assume most is going to be the future for the Bulls point guard.
What is Patrick Williams' future outlook?
So his potential is really high, but it never pans out.
Oh.
I've done about 10 different leagues, like unique leagues, just keep resetting it, and he never pans out. Him and DeMar fall off a cliff.
So it's reality. It's actually like their predictive analytics are fantastic.
And, doesn't mean it's right. That's what I said with my IO example.
It's right.
But we'll see.
Yeah, it's right. It's right.
All right. What do we got here next? Here's your
next one. This one's kind of a twist. So I'm gonna try and walk you through my thought process and see what you got. So what's the could have been matchup that you want to see? So we've obviously had some injuries. Giannis is out tonight. Tyler Hero broke his hand. Sabonis is up in the air. There's been some injuries. There's also been some blowouts and some just really not good series so far, obviously with 3 of them being 2-0 advantages. So is there a series that you would have liked to see over another one? You know, shuffle the teams and mix teams around. Like, would you rather see Warriors-Grizzlies or, you know, with Giannis being out, does Miami-Milwaukee really not that exciting anymore? And maybe Celtics-Miami would have been a better series. I'm just trying to think, like, there's going to be, I think, some lopsided series, some 4-1s, some 4-0s, some 5-2s kind of thing.
Yeah.
4-2. So what do you think?
My what could have been is still, it doesn't really change that much. The watching the Sixers-Nets, there's nothing going on. It's a nothing burger of a series. And I just wish Miami would play that team. I'm watching Miami right now. Game talk right now. They're down by 30 without Giannis.
No game talk.
And like the Bucks, I feel like, would have beaten. They could have done this to the Nets. Why do I have to watch this against the Heat? The Heat, at least, I wanted to see a Jimmy Butler redemption series, and I think we got cheated out of that with Brooklyn winning just enough games to hang on to a sixth seed that they didn't really deserve with the team that they currently have. Everything else, though, has been kind of really been fun. The Warriors, Kings, they've all been really fun so far, in my opinion. But that's just the one I just wish, man. Well, what could have been?
Yeah, that's a good one. One I swapped was Warriors and Lakers. I would have liked to see, and I feel like if
I see what you mean. So if like if they were playing well enough, the Warriors would have had a higher seed, and then yeah.
And like, I also kind of think like, well, there's that aspect. And there's also the aspect of if you have both of these teams, like, let's be honest, both of these teams are, you're not going to call the Lakers a dynasty, but like both of these teams are nearing the end of their respective championship dynasty type windows. And like, if the Warriors are going to, fizzle out and like, this is going to be either like a sweep or, they're going to win one game out of this. It'd kind of be cool to watch the two, like, quote unquote, old head teams. One of them have to kind of eliminate the other. So there is some poetic justice to the, new kid on the block and the Kings doing it to the Warriors. But, I think watching like the two teams, maybe in their final one or two seasons between the Warriors and Lakers go at it would be kind of fun. I also think those would have been maybe slightly more competitive games just because I think there's just a matchup. Like they're just more like the pace of those two teams makes more sense, right? The Kings are just kind of running the Warriors up and down the court and they see some of the age happening, with the Warriors and Kings and Lakers matchup would have been fun to see for me. So that's where I went.
You just want to see the old heads play each other to the death.
Kind of want to see the old heads play to the death, and I kind of want one of them to just be eliminated for good and just let's move on to something new and fresh in the association. I also put Celtics Heat. I don't know. I feel like the size would have been just a better matchup. I don't know. Like Miami got lucky in game one. They're obviously, as you already game talked, they're getting blown out tonight, getting absolutely obliterated.
You already game talked.
But I don't know. Like Jimmy against Tatum seems like it could have been kind of a fun matchup. Yeah, I don't know. That's just me. I don't know why, but that just seemed like it might be kind of fun to watch.
That would have been nice too. Yeah. Well, especially because watching these Hawks, Sixers would have been more fun too.
Yeah, maybe that was just more of what it was. I was just trying to get the Hawks out of a series completely. Like, I just don't want to watch you guys play. Like, I just want you gone. So I'll just replace you with anything. Like, go away. But you're probably not surprised I didn't put the Bulls in. Or you probably are surprised.
I was, yeah. I didn't. No Bulls talk here.
Bulls talk. We'll save that for a week or two. I've started compiling my top 10 and bottom 10 moments of this past season.
That's off season pod talk. The playoffs last a little bit longer than that, but yeah, that'll definitely be on.
I started my season debrief with myself. I'm doing my end of season press conferences through the board. Should we go to the last question? We're kind of ripping through these here tonight.
I like it. No, I'm good. The Wolves game's about to start, so this kind of works in my favor.
All right, we'll drop a quick one then, or if we think of another question here, we'll mix that in too. But just kind of thinking, like, is there any change that you'd want to see in the playoffs? Right, so we're 2-3 games in right now. We've talked about rule changes in the pod. We've talked about Titus had his high thought last week was replays at the end of games and kind of speeding up the end of games. It's kind of got me kind of thinking, like, is there a playoff format? Is there a scheduling thing? Is there something you'd want to see changed from the NBA in terms of what happens in the playoffs?
I had difficulty answering this question because I'm one to kind of go with the flow, kind of adapt. I'm an adaptable human being. And My biggest gripe with these playoffs is the amount of time off these teams get sometimes. So I was looking at the Lakers-Grizzlies series. They played on Sunday. They play on Wednesday. They play today. And then they don't play again until Saturday. But then I saw it's because the LA Kings, who they also share the arena with, are playing Friday. Typically, they would play that Friday. Maybe they got bumped because of that. I just wish it was every other day. That's my only thing. Let's rip through these playoffs. I think there's something to not getting enough time off. There's a factor involved in that. And when you get too much time off, it kind of favors a certain team sometimes. So I just wish it was every other day. Just keep this going.
Yeah, I was kind of around scheduling too. My thought was maybe the first round has 5-game series.
Yeah.
Do kind of what baseball does in the early times, and make a five-game series, right? And you can stack the games closer together. All these guys talk about rest and the season's a grind. Like, okay, fine, shorten the first round of the playoffs.
So here's a counter to that. If they do a 5-game series, how do you feel about a 9-game series in the conference or in the NBA finals to kind of counterbalance the loss in revenue the NBA would experience not playing those extra games?
Yeah, I guess though, since they added the play-in tournament, is the NBA as a whole actually losing that revenue? Revenue?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they would still lose revenue if they pulled, the 7-5, even though they're making up with the play. The play-in is a separate thing. Play-in is going to be Champions League, right? Adam Silver's talking about creating his own mid-season tournament, like what Premier League or what football does over in England.
Yeah, but they're still going to have the play-in tournament as well. They're going to play in
regular season. Oh, sorry, that's just a play-in. I was talking about the mid-season tournament, yeah.
They're in the mid-season tournament and play-in tournament. But, yeah, I don't know.
But that's already been done, so now it's like, okay, well, what do I get out of it? It's kind of,
A 9-game series seems excessive.
It would be silly. I think that's a lot of travel.
I see what you're saying, though. There has to be a way for that revenue sharing and that to be made up. But I was just thinking, some of these blowouts, I could do with one less Boston Atlanta game. Hey, they win one more game, Boston's through, and it's over. Just kind of move on.
I completely agree. The only series I care to see more than five is there's three. There's the Suns Clips, Grizz Lakers, and then Cavs Knicks in that order. Right? And then everything. But even that, if they were just five games, that would be really exciting because then game three, they're tied at 1-1. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You
get the tiebreaker game much, much earlier. And there's you can't lose another game kind of because you go down 3-1.
From a competitive perspective, 2-1. That's how it should be. But it's a money making system, it's a spectator sport where they just, I don't know.
It is.
But I agree with you. It should be five, but I understand why they don't make it.
Yeah.
They don't bring it down.
The other thought that I had was, increasing team fouls for the playoffs, not individual player fouls. So you still have a six foul max before you're out of the game, but increasing the team fouls per quarter to, limit the amount of time spent at the free throw line in the playoffs.
Sure.
Maybe one or two fouls in an increase in the limit just to kind of keep the game flowing.
Anything that helps decrease the amount of fouls. I forget which game it was. I think it was the Hawks. I don't know. One of the games was such a slog because there were so many. They were going to the line every other time. I think it was Bucks Heat actually. Whatever. I completely agree. That's why I like the Elam ending. Is it the Elam ending? Am I saying that
right? Elam ending.
Correct. It is Elam. Right, yeah. I'm self conscious now after I said it wrong that last time. Just because it would help limit the amount of personal fouls you get because there's a actual score at the end. Anything that limits free throws and personal fouls is I'm all for it.
All right, well that's our last question. I'll throw one more at you, just one look forward thing. Any series outside of Minnesota Denver that you're absolutely is must watch here for the next 7 days? By the time we do this next, we will have some series be completely wrapped up. What's your must watch
for the next
week?
So the most entertaining series for me, we haven't really talked about, is the Knicks Cavs. Jalen Brunson,
Julius Randle. I did not think you were going to say that.
Julius Randle's really fun to watch, even though I don't like him. Like, just because he does a lot of mid-range stuff, but he's just the way he can play make and kind of move around the floor is unique to other. Like, even Evan Mobley's kind of wishes he could become offensively what Julius Randle is. That's a series that I like to watch in a vacuum. Whoever comes out of that series, I think, is going to lose to the Bucks in the next round. The Grizzlies Lakers, though, is the series to watch because that's just going to be a bloodbath with, you know, with Ja being out this game and they still won. That's easily the best series. Oh, and then also, and I mentioned again, Suns Clippers.
There you go.
With Kawhi that's against the Durant. Is that the one you want to talk about?
Yeah. That's the one I thought you were going to go with. I mean, also just need to say you've already mentioned another game talk. I mean, you were just full of game talk tonight. Talked about the
game ended.
Losing.
The game was over.
All right. Immediate post game talk. No, I was going to say Clippers. You know, how about Suns.
We enable game talk for playoff games. There's only like two or three games on a night now. We can.
Oh, funny. So you created the rule that no game talk was allowed, and now because you're game talking. You are
no excessive game talking.
Excessive game talking. Excessive game talking penalty. No, I was going to say Clippers Suns. Game one was absolutely ridiculous. Russell Westbrook going 3 of 19 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
exactly. But, yeah, you know, fighting a guy or you know talking shit with a guy in a suite while his kid just plows some food next to him. And then coming out and just making some ridiculous blocks and rebounds and steals. That was wild. Last night's game was pretty good too. Booker went off. Durant was doing his thing. Like that series has all the makings of being just absolutely fantastic because Kawhi is I guess they know what they're doing over there in Los Angeles, right? That you rest him all season, don't let him play back to backs. And when the time comes for him to be great, he's going to do what he can do because he is looking absolutely fantastic now. So I'm looking forward to that. I also enjoy that because of KD being there. There's not a lot of talk about Chris Paul, and I'm kind of okay not having to hear the announcers talk about Chris Paul nonstop because now it's all about KD. And
he's not a very likable guy.
Yeah. So I'm perfectly okay with that. One last thought. I just thought we were talking about. I don't know what you think of this, but. Back when we did our New Year's resolutions, Chris, the Golden State resolution was get better on the road. And I believe I predicted that they were not going to be able to fight their way to home court advantage and that there was going to be no team in the Western Conference that was going to fear having to play them because they would be able to play all their games or have home court advantage against the Warriors. And I would like to say, as a group, we have gotten some of these predictions damn right, and that is one that we absolutely locked in because right now no one is fearing Golden State on the road because they had the worst road record in the league. They are continuing that trend.
Do we have these written down? We should review this.
The New Year's resolutions?
The New Year's resolutions. I feel like we wrote those down somewhere. That's a good
one. We do. We do have the New Year's
resolution. That's exactly right though, because the Kings literally do not fear the Warriors at all. It does not matter.
No. And also funny that Draymond said, hey, I want to play the Kings because it's basically not a road game because I'm just gonna go. We don't have to go that far for it. We don't have to travel and
but he can stay home too.
No. Yeah, let's also be honest that was a completely two-faced comment. He was you know damn well that he meant like, yeah, we think we can beat this team. It wasn't as much about the travel as he made it out to be. Nonetheless,
he's out.
All right. Well, anything else, Chris? Are you good?
I'm good. Let's go. This Timberwolves game is about to start.
All right. Well, without Titus here, I guess we can talk faster. I guess Titus is the one that makes this go long every night. So we'll just make sure we rub that into his face when he's back next week. Chris, it was a pleasure doing the show together. Two man game. I forget Titus's spiel, but you know what to do. You know where we're at. Find us on our socials. Send us an email. Follow us at the Box Out Boys. Do all that stuff. And until next time, yeah, that's right. Big Daddy Kumquat. LOL. Titus is having a good time doing whatever Titus is doing. So until next time, I am Joey, Chris, and Adam. Box out!